Blog Talk Radio.
One another. Building community, one another. Ephesians 4:13, and this is in the Message Bible, it says, until we are moving, all moving, rhythmically and easy with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. And I put a little statement in your notes. It says, some want to talk about one another. Some people say each other. But when we use this reciprocal pronoun, each other and one another, when two or more people do the same thing, traditionally each other refers to two people, and one another refers to more than two people. And when we look at scripture, I mean, this theme occurs over 500 something times if you would look it up in the King James Version. But my first bullet point there, it's just really a question. It says, how do people know that we are disciples? Being a Christian is becoming more common, but being a Christian doesn't really tie to discipleship, because some people come to church because it's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. But becoming a disciple of Christ goes further. And first statement says, people know that we're disciples because we love as Christ has loved us. That love word is that agape love. It's the highest level that you could ever achieve here on earth. It also says, because we have love for one another. Because we celebrate one another. Because we give priority to one another. And if you would turn to John, I've got it in your notes there, but I'm going to read two scriptures in John 13, John 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. To me, the core issue of unity is love. Christ's love for us and our willingness to love others as the Lord loved us. Christ's new commandment presses us beyond our natural human inclinations to the need for Christ's inspiration. Christ's love for us is not dependent on a quality in us that makes us lovable. Christ's love for us disregards our strengths and weakness, and Christ's love is motivated by grace. Now, in John 13, when you look at the context of that scripture, we see that Jesus he's almost getting towards the end of his earthly ministry. So he prepares the Passover, but Also, what Jesus does, he demonstrates to us servanthood. He girds his waist with a towel, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And it's a model of servanthood. It's a model of how we should treat and respect one another. And it's interesting, he said, this is a new commandment. So that means it wasn't something he said before, or it wasn't something that was done before. In John 13:35, when he says, your love for one another will prove. In other words, your love for one another shows. It demonstrates. It's evidence. It substantiates. It confirms, verifies, attests, corroborates that you're a disciple. See, I am so glad because Rhema, I wasn't here when they started. But they knew that the church's response to what God told them to do was reach the lost and make disciples. Reach the lost and make disciples. And they put such a foundation in place. If you don't want to come become a disciple, it's your own fault. Because we got newcomers classes, we got understanding God class, we got ministerial class, we got majoring in men. If you don't want to fall in love and become a disciple, it's your own fault. I mean, there is so much. And the thing of it is, our love for God should flow to one another. And I know that we are doing a lot of good things, but there's always another bar that you can take it to. There's always another level that we could go to. And I remember when I was at Circleville and I had to write out a personal vision for my life, and the professor said, take it higher, take it higher, take it higher. Because the thing of it is, vision should outlast you. Whether it's a corporate vision or where it's a personal vision, you should always be striving. And these statements that Jesus is making to his disciples is based on the fact that he knows he's getting ready to release them into a world that's going to turn their backs on him. Love of God flows to brother love. I mean, there's no way that we can love God and then detest our brothers and our sisters. Now, when I was putting this together, I thought about this thing that happened to me one time. I get called sometimes to go down to the county jail and visit young men. And this lady that called me was a grandmother. And I asked her this question. I said, ma'am, have you gone to see your grandson? Oh, I love the Lord. I said, did you go to see your grandson? I love the Lord. I said, that's the reason you should have went. Because you said you love the Lord. And I don't mind going, because most of the time when I go, these young men are so broken. And sometimes I realize they're broken because they got caught. But sometimes they're broken because they know they didn't have no business in what they were doing. They were taught better than that. In 1 John 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God and hates, detests, abominates his brother in Christ, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he's seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And the truth is that when we love God so much, it flows from us to our vertical levels, to each other and one another. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. I have Romans 12:10, but I wanted to read a little bit more into this. Romans, the 12th chapter, I'm going to actually start at verse 9. And it says, Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. Continually steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge for yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Talking about one another, Christian conduct, one another. Christ gave us a new standard, a standard of love that sometimes it is seems like it's hard to achieve. But I know one thing, with practice, with patience, endurance, you know, you can become that. You know, he was selfless. He was servant-like. And my next comment says of genuine service. And let's look at Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. And it says in verse number 1, watch out. Do not do your deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't be as the hypocrites, blowing the trumpets in the synagogues and the street to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they'll ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And I believe in the New King James translation and the King James, it says he'll reward those things that you do in secret. He'll reward you openly, openly, and bless you. And, you know, I learned a valuable lesson from this from my wife, because she never, sometimes the women that we were serving and things, she would do things and she wouldn't tell me. But sometimes they come and tell me. They say, don't tell Miss Sandy, because you know she ain't gonna like that. But she sincerely loved those ladies, and she wanted the best for them. And she wanted to see them walk in their purpose in the kingdom of God. My last comment down here in part one says of speech. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one or one another. And I think it's critical when we live in these times and people are going through different things, economic issues, death, all kind of stuff is happening around us, even all the stuff that's going on in the world with all the killing and everything. It's how we address each other. And we're all kingly priests of the Most High God. And so we ought to have enough, you know what I'm saying, enough grace inside of us to address one another in a kingly manner. We ought to have enough grace inside us to take some time out with each other. I'm learning as I get older, you know, that God, I mean, we're, you know, I'm in that baby boomer, and, you know, I ain't got a lot of time here on earth. But God is showing me how I can serve those that are coming up and doing mighty things in the kingdom, helping them and sharing with them and taking time with them. Never thought I'd be doing some of the stuff that I've been doing over the last couple of years. But I am thankful for God to be used in his kingdom. Part two, exhorting and encouraging one another. You know, it's very critical that in the household of God, you know, I go to my job 40 hours a week, and, you know, I get enough stuff there. And when I come to the house, I'm looking for a breakthrough. I'm looking for relief. I'm looking for to lift up the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I don't need no drudgery. I don't need no mess. I don't care what was going on with sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. We need to pray for that person. I mean, there ought to be a level of maturity that comes out. Because, see, everybody can fall. Everybody can fall in the mess. Everybody can make a wrong turn, a wrong decision. The last young man I went to see at the county jail, it was sad because he had been at his church 7 years. And nobody came to see him. He didn't get any time or anything. He just got in the car, got a ride with some people that was doing wrong. He didn't know what they were doing, but he was trying to just get a ride so he could get where he was going. And they stopped and did some crazy stuff. You know, thank God that he didn't get any time or anything, but it broke my heart because he's like, nobody from the, because everybody, I guess, thought that he was guilty. And regardless of whether there's guilt or not guilt, here's a young man that needed some encouragement. He didn't need nobody throwing the book at him. And he had not done anything wrong, really. But sometimes that's how we view it. And so I have here to exhort means to beseech, comfort, entreat, to inspire, to incite. Merriam-Webster says to incite by argument or advice. Urge strongly to give warning or advice. And to encourage means to stir hope, to give hope, strength of purpose, to raise one's confidence, to inspire with courage. I'm reminded of this statement Dr. Chan said years ago. He said, we in the church shoot our wounded. And I don't know, that just came back to me like a light bulb, because it tempers me when I see people who are falling from grace because of decisions that they made. Need to pray for them. In Hebrews, the third chapter, verses 12 through 15, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Now, unbelief is caused by a hard heart. And just because we're saved don't mean that our heart can't get hard. It is sometimes it can be because of a death. Sometimes it can be because of a job loss. Sometimes it can be because of a divorce. Anything can cause us to have a hard heart. But the reality of it is once we get a hard heart, you know, deceitfulness of sin leads us to walk away from the grace of this life that we have. But constant encouragement in a caring fellowship will help believers remain faithful. Can I say that again? Constant encouragement in a caring fellowship will help believers remain faithful. And we need to embrace one another. We need to just, you know, sometime hug a brother or sister. Don't know what they're going through. Before I read Hebrews 10 through 10:24-25, when I was thinking about, you know, I've been around computers since 75. I took programming. So to see where technology has gone is just mind-boggling. I mean, you know, it is. You can have a conversation around the world, and it's awesome, too. I've used Facebook. I've used Twitter to put messages out on. I've used Blog Talk Radio to put the gospel out on. Now at my company, we have an intranet site, and I put my messages sometimes that I've written out on that site. Apostle don't know, but I just put some of his out there. I figure, you know, the tool is there. You know, why not use it? They got the LGBTQ whatever out there, so I might as well put that. But anyway, I'm saying all this to say this. Hebrews 10:24-25 said, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as seeing the day approaching." Now, I simply want to say this. I've watched the TV thing at home through the internet. It never can replace coming through the house of God. See, I can't say, "Brother Cole, high five." I can't say, "Sister Teresa." I can't say, "Honey," you know what I'm saying? It can never replace coming to the house of God. I don't care what day you come, as long as you come. Because I found that there's encouragement, there's strength when we're in the community with one another. So I'm thankful for that, but I can't rely on it. Now, if I get sick and feeble, I'm like, "Honey, can you go get the laptop or something? Turn them on, I can see them." But in that, I need to come to the house of God. God has made it such a way. And when we come together, there's just a grace of his presence in the house. 1 Thessalonians 5:11-15 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholesome-hearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you, to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always trying to do good to each other and to all people." Amen. My last point here, and y'all don't go be telling Apostle I called y'all wolves. But we're going to look at some wisdom from nature. Because I believe God in his wisdom, God in his understanding, God in his might, he put things in everything that we can learn from everything. The Word of God is our primary source. But when I came across this, I was like, I kind of threw it off. And the Holy Ghost took me back there. Because I've been reading a book by this guy, Rudyard Kipling. First of all, let me talk about teamwork. And I'm talking about wolves, but you relate it back to how we relate to one another. Not every member of the pack aspires to be the boss. Some prefer to be steady hunters, caretakers, or scouts. But each has a crucial role to play as a part of the team. See, it doesn't matter what your gift is. Your gift will make room. whether it's serving in the cafeteria, on the parking lot, it don't matter, because there's a place for you. And so it is in the wolf pack. Patience. Wolves don't aimlessly choose to harass their prey. They're content to be keen observers, analyzing the physical and mental state of the caribou herd. We could use that. Some of us need to observe and be keen, analyze people when they come in. Because sometimes we say it's all right, but you know something. Come on, sister, you ain't smiling, you're dragging, you ain't got that same kick. Point number three, they don't simply attack and be done with it because they understand one place hoof of a caribou can kill a member of the pack. So they're trying to go after the weakest thing in the pack. See, sometimes we need to go to those that we see that they may not have it all together. They just may be down a little bit. They may be sitting off to the side by themselves. We need to go and encourage them with a word and give them a hug. The wolf seeks long-term victory rather than short-term success. See, when they planted Raymond Christian Center, they saw this beyond their lifespan. See, somebody else is going to be up here one day. Somebody else is going to be sitting in the front office. And hopefully they'll be over on the new land. But they've seen a vision that goes beyond themselves. In play, wolves are very sociable animals. They draw strength from physical contact with one another. See, when we high-five and slapping and hugging one another, there's strength. There's strength. There's encouragement. Play refines their skills of communication and teamwork. They become physically stronger and mentally tougher through play. Now, I like playing. I got a friend, Ron. Ron and I get together. He helps me put mulch down, and then we'll go play horseshoes. Now, see, we always got to play at his house because he's got the court. But I told him, I said, I'm going to beat you on your own stuff. At Christmas, sometimes we'll play taboo. But one year, when they were at our house, we pulled out the mic. And I put up the little karaoke machine. And I was singing, ain't no mountain high enough to keep me. My wife was like, honey, let it alone. But you got to have some fun. I stopped taking myself so serious. God ain't, you know what I'm saying? He's deep. Let him be deep. Communication. Wolves don't rely upon any single form of communication. They howl, muzzle, lick, and use intricate body language, including lips, eyes, and tail position. When they attack for food, the situation changes by the second, and wolves' communication techniques allow them to constantly adjust their strategies and achieve success. Loyalty. No other mammal shows more spirited devotion to family, organization, social group than the wolf. A wolf's purpose for existing is to ensure the survival of the pack. We need to model something for those that are coming behind us. We need to model excellence. We need to model faithfulness and loyalty. We need to model, hallelujah, a lifestyle that brings glory to Him. Where pups are concerned, each member of the pack assumes the responsibility for food, shelter, training, protection, and play. So they start them off young. They don't wait till they get old to try to train them. Because the pack always know the young are the future. Amen. Wolf credo. Respect the elders. Teach the young. Cooperate with the pack. Play when you can. Hunt when you must. Rest in between. Share your affections. voice your feelings, leave your mark. One another. One another. One another. As I'm closing, I want to share this story. I have a niece. She's raising two daughters. Called me one day. She says, "Uncle, you know anybody got a truck?" I said, "Yeah, I know a few people." She's getting this basketball court thing for her church. So I told her, call this guy, Jim Bob. She called him. Day or two later, she called me. She says, "You know that Jim Bob took me to get that hoop. He helped me put it up, and he wouldn't take no money. He said, your uncle already paid." I was really, really humbled, because I believe when we give outstanding service, it's reciprocal. It's reciprocal. When we treat people right and we help one another, encourage and strengthen one another, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. It is going to come back. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening. Thank you that we are here to strengthen and encourage one another. We love you, and Lord, we love each other. So Lord, help us to walk, Lord, at a greater level of respect, of honor, priority for each other, because we're all valuable in your kingdom. And we need one another to fulfill the vision and purpose that you put in our lives. Help us to grow up into you. Help us to mature and show this generation how to serve God without reservation. Lord, continue to teach us how to love you and how to love each other. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. As we're sitting around the room, and Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our lives. No one else like him. No one like him. He died for us. And maybe you've come into this place